mighty. She's playing that chorus, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. Morning. Amen. How many of you glad you're anywhere this morning? Hallelujah. All right. Brother Mark.
Hey, welcome to the Victory Bible Class. I'm glad you're here because if you weren't here, I would be standing up here speaking to an empty room and that would be really, really awkward. So thank you all for being here. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Why is it a beautiful day? This is the day the Lord has made. We will. I hope you're finding something to rejoice in. Something. If the Lord made this day, he let you be a part of it, that is enough right there to rejoice in, would you say? We were rejoice and what? Be glad in it. Rejoicing and gladness. All right, so it's a beautiful day. Thank you for being here, sharing it with us together. Let me read off some updates to our prayer list. Billy Rush, Dave's brother, fell and hurt his knee, so we need to remember Billy. Diana Gallion having surgery. This, would that be Wednesday, Larry? This Wednesday? This is eye surgery. Oh, and next Wednesday. Yeah, okay. One eye one day and one or in one week, one eye the next week. Okay. So this Wednesday and next Wednesday. Joyce Alcorn's son Dave recovering from rotator cuff surgery. Well, we've had two rotator cuff surgeries here in this class within, what, the last 2 weeks, I think? And so now we've got a third one. Rough time for rotator cuffs. So keep those cuffs healthy, folks. All right, but Joyce's son recovering from rotator cuff surgery, and we have a couple of others on our list there as well. Rosie taken to the ER this morning. That's from the Edwards. And Angela's asking prayer for Kevin and Taylor for health. So that's our updates on our prayer list. Make sure if there's anything that needs to be changed, updated, deleted, whatever, stop by the table and keep the prayer list up to date, okay? Bill Magnus. Okay, prayer for Bill for health issues as well. All right. Wedding anniversaries this week. No wedding anniversaries. Anybody having a wedding anniversary we don't have on our records? Who can I wish a happy wedding anniversary to this week? Nobody? All right, birthdays. Birthdays this week. Today, David Hayes and Becky Roten. Today, I saw Becky back there. Happy birthday, Becky. Jeff, you're smiling, so I guess you got this covered, huh? All right. Let's see. Tomorrow, Jesse Garber and Steve Smith on the 7th. So happy birthday to you four. Any birthdays that we missed? Any other birthdays this week? This week. Anybody who's having a birthday and should be raising their hand, please point to them. I don't see any. Buddy's coughing. No, Buddy, you're coughing back there. You weren't pointing, were you? All right. Just making sure. All right. Happy birthday to you four. Thank you for sharing them with us. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the time we have to be together here today. This is the day that you've made. You created this day and you let us be a part of it. And I give you thanks for that. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, shedding your blood. Thank you for loving us. Even though we are unlovely, we're unworthy, and we don't do anything to merit your love, but you still love us. And thank you for that. Thank you for all you've done for us. Pray this class will be a blessing to us today. May this be a profitable time. And thank you that we have it carved out each week that we can meet together around your word. we can praise your name, and we can learn, we can study together. These names that I have called out, with several with health concerns, got one recovering from surgeries, a couple of surgeries coming up. Just want to ask you to be with each one in the way that they need it. Some are going to need physical healing. Some are going to maybe need more emotional support. Some are going to need perhaps encouragement. So there's lots of different needs here represented. And I know you know how to meet each one where they are. You know exactly what they need and when they need it. So I just lift these names up to you and ask you to bless them. Once again, be with our class today. May it be profitable to us. May it be a good time, and just bless everything that goes on here. May we do all to your glory, as the Bible says we are supposed to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're not getting any chicken nuggets today.
No nuggets today.
All righty. Well, today we have a treat. Since I've been here at the church, this is the first time that this has happened where we've taken a missionary on, they've gone to the field, and then now they're on furlough. I can't believe that time has already passed. I mean, I'm just sitting here going, what in the world happened? So we have a treat this morning. Brother Ethan and Mrs. Prater are here with us. Remind me of your first name. Brittany, that's right, Brittany. Are with us this morning, and they have taken on some extra luggage since they went to the Dominican Republic. They now have six boys, and we were praying for a girl, but are you still praying for a girl? Or, okay. Seven's a good number. So you have to have at least two girls, but thank the Lord for... thank the Lord to be able to have them this morning. So I'm going to ask Brother Ethan to step up here. And by the way, while he's coming up, we are part of the construction and all that. How many have noticed the nice new doors and open and all that? And it makes the room look bigger. Don't ask me how, but it makes the room look bigger. And so it's a work in progress. The hallway's a work in progress. They've got the mud on. They're going to get some more on. They're going to sand it and paint it. New doors, we changed the air conditioning around a little bit. So now those of you that were fleeing the air, you sat over here and the air was dropping on you? And now it's dropping over here. How many feel it over here? And this is why. So the two vents that are lower are the active ones, and they're a better vent. The other ones were a little restricted. So that air now is reaching clear to this side of the room. It's swooping around and it's heading back that way, and it's getting refreshed to be sent out again. So it will take a couple weeks to get it adjusted. So if you get real cold, let us know. Okay, let us know. What they've done, it's a lot quieter and it's a lot more efficient. And so Leroy's getting a cold head. So, but anyway... that out of the way. Brother Ethan, it's so good to see you. Miss Brittany, so good to have you. Yes, sir. One volunteer for the two-year-old department. Those of you that are already pre-screened and you're, if you can help out with that, please see Brother David Rush. Okay? Well, also, Brother Bobby, who's part of our class, he serves upstairs with the children's department. He asked me to announce this, and I told him I appreciate the bright card that he put on here. I'm getting blinded by it. But if you have not signed up already out in the foyer and you would like to, we'll start this passing around October the 21st from 1 to 4 o'clock. There is a Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church harvest party, and you do not have to be trained or you don't have to know a lot, but to tend a booth or to help folks out. But we do need quite a few volunteers. I guarantee you, you'll enjoy it. Will it be work? Yes, but it's not a long time. But it'll be very rewarding. It has turned out to be one of those activities where we see the most of our community show up on this property, and it gives us an opportunity to present the gospel to them, to let them get to know us, and it introduces the church to them. So we'll get this going around. If you have not signed up already and you would like to, there's no pressure, but there's that list, and you can just hand that around. All right, Brother Ethan, what in the world have you been up to for the last few years? Go ahead and talk to us a little bit.
All right. Well, first of all, it's just a blessing to be with you all. We just appreciate everything that
Let's click
Buffalo
that on
Ridge.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. It's on. All right.
Okay. All right, there we go. So we just want to say it's a blessing to be with you all this morning, and we just want to say thank you all so much for what you do for us, for our family, what you have done, and without your help, you know, we couldn't do the work of the Lord that God has called us to, and so it's a privilege and an honor to be supported by Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we love you all, and we thank you all so much, and Brother Dan was asking, you know, what we've been up to. Well, we have... Whenever we first arrived on the field, we got to get settled in, and we started working with another missionary family by the name of the Autry family in Santo Domingo. It's a city of about 2 million people, and so it was something that we're really not used to. We are right up the road where we lived is right up the road near Abingdon, Virginia, and so this morning wasn't too long of a travel for us, and we're out of Emmanuel Baptist Church with Pastor Kevin Rogerson. But it was a big difference going from rural Virginia to a large city full of 2 million people in a country where we were not accustomed to their customs. And so it was a big change for us, but God was gracious and a big mission field, you know, 2 million people that we have the opportunity to reach with the gospel. And more than half of them, by statistics, you know, not knowing Christ as their Savior. And so that was a big opportunity for us to be able to work with another missionary family. They had been there for 30 years, had a good work going on. And so we were able to start right in, you know, with the work. And number one, in learning the language, that was very important to us. We knew that without the language, we could not minister. And that was the most important thing to us. Whenever the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, the first thing that he did was he provided them the gift of tongues, though we do not believe that those are being used today. But the first thing that he did was provide them the gift of tongues. And what happened? Others were around, heard the gospel in their own language, to where the gospel could immediately start spreading quickly. And so we know that we need the language. And that was very important to us as a missionary family. And so we started immediately taking language classes and getting that down.
That
was a work in process, yes. Whenever I started out, you know, I would be in meetings with Brother Autry and with some of the other Dominicans, and they would be talking fluently in Spanish and just hearing that, you know, and I thought, I had 5 years going into it. I had 5 years of Spanish down in Spanish classes in high school. That had been several years back. But sitting there, I thought, how am I ever going to get this? I thought, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I don't know how I'm going to be able to learn this because I cannot pick it up what they're saying. Because Dominicans, they don't exactly speak perfect Spanish. Right. They cut off their words. And they speak a little bit faster, and they use a little bit more lingo in their language.
So give us an illustration of that.
Okay.
We have a couple Spanish speakers in the room. We have a Puerto Rican back here. We have a same as Dominican. Okay. Okay. So how would that sound?
So basically, they do not use their S's in a lot of the words that they say. So instead of saying, ¿Cómo está usted? They would say, ¿Cómo está usted? Como está usted? Just like that.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. And so picking that up was very difficult for us. And the S's are pretty major that they cut off their S's whenever they're speaking the language. And especially, you know, in the what you could call the not so high class areas, the poorer areas, they would speak very, very quickly as well. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard for us to be able to train our ears to be able to pick that up. But thank the Lord that God helped us with that.
Good.
And now I can say como está usted and understand it, you know. So but God's good. And now I'm able to preach in the language and to teach in the language with the help of the Lord and to witness. And so that was an answered prayer. And God has been helping Brittany so much, and it's a blessing to see how God has helped her. And the boys are behind her and coming along and learning Spanish as well. So we praise God for how he's worked in our lives and helped us, you know, to this point to where we feel like we are ready to start out on our own in a new area in a place called Puerto Plata and begin there with the work of the Lord. So we're excited about that. One of the things, you know, while we were there on the mission field is we were able to help with youth groups. We were able to help teach Sunday school classes, ladies meetings. My wife was able to teach in those, you know, and help out with nursery. We were able to sew in and have a bus, more or less a bus ministry with my own vehicle. I would call it a bus. We call it a guagua. So that's what they call it, a bus there, a guagua.
A guagua?
A guagua.
Okay.
And so I would drive around my guagua, a passenger guagua, and I would go and pick up people, you know, and bring them to church, and God used that. It was a blessing. We had a Christian school that I was able to teach in Monday through Friday in Bible classes, as well as chapel, and I got to that. Immediately caused me to start improving my Spanish a lot because I would have to study, you know, I would have to look up Google Translate. That was a big lifesaver for me. I know that Google Translate does not exactly translate perfectly,
yeah, right.
But it was a good help.
Absolutely.
And so that was a big help for me, you know. And then after that, about a year into the mission work, Brother Altry and Sister Chona, they took a furlough to the U.S. And so while they were away, the Lord allowed us to be able to help minister there at their church for about a year and to be preaching right in front of the people, to ministering there, to leading the church in a good direction. And so God helped us with that. And we were able to help them in their ministry while they were away on furlough. So that was a blessing for us and them at the same time to give us experience that we never had, as well as to give them a chance to, you know, to see their supporting churches, doing what we're doing right now and giving updates and possibly increase in support and different things. And so it was a blessing for us to be able to have that opportunity to serve there.
Wonderful.
Amen.
So Mrs. Brittany, let me ask you something that all moms are thinking about. You get to this new country, she has mic number two, you get to this new country and you have, at that point, four, correct?
Yes.
Did you have the two babies there?
Yes. Yeah, they were both born there.
Okay, you have to tell us a little bit about that, all right? So you get there and you're going from rural America to a large city. Where do y'all live within this city?
It's just around the corner from the church in an apartment.
It was basically the hub of the city, right in the center.
So you're right in the hub. You're right smack dab in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's that feel as a mom? How does that feel?
Different. I think, and I've told Ethan, I think living in the apartment was a huge adjustment because we're used to a yard and then a farm and that might have been harder than the culture. I think we accepted the culture a lot easier than we did apartment life.
And city life.
Okay, so continue. So now with the boys, they're wanting to go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And how do you feel as a mom in this large city with these young boys? What's going through your mind on that?
How do I keep them occupied inside of an apartment?
How big was your apartment?
1,700 square feet.
Okay.
Which was a really good size apartment.
Good.
God really blessed us with a good apartment. And then across the street was it's called a social club, but it had a playground, a basketball court. So I would go there occasionally with the boys and take them. They could run around a little bit. And then about 5 minutes from the house was another park, so they could go to the park and just run around.
Okay. Do you take them with you to the grocery store?
I did when we first moved there. We all went, and that was big and overwhelming because it's a city, so they're just crammed with people in the aisles. It's all in pesos. I've got no clue, and so I'm sitting here going, which one's cheaper? Which one's, and what is this? And, you know, how do I find parsley? And so you're Google Translating everything, and then you're also doing the currency while all these people are around you. And that was a lot.
And you're trying to keep up with your boys.
I'm trying to keep up with the boys and trying to.
Do they have buggies there?
They do.
Okay, good.
So we had two buggies. You had a couple of kids, and I had a couple. So, and I think I was 21 weeks pregnant with Ezra. The first month was really hard just adjusting and just getting used to grocery shopping there and how different it was.
Did you change your way of cooking?
Yes. I was telling him just a month ago, I was like, I've tried so many new foods and I've got so many foods that I like that I didn't think I would like, you know, so.
Well, yeah. Good. Like what? What would be an example?
Moro. It's like rice with pigeon peas and coconut milk and cilantro, that stuff. Coleslaw, okay. Dominican coleslaw. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different than American, but I like that now. What are some other things?
Kipe.
What is the other one? Croqueta.
Croqueta.
It's like chicken that's been, you can't even tell it's chicken. It's just so processed, but then it's just formed into a little, kind of like a mozzarella stick, and it's fried. It's so good.
Breaded and fried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's got some spices and stuff in there, too.
Wonderful.
A lot of fruits, mangoes, their pineapples are wonderful. So.
Is the fruit fresh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, the fruit is fresh.
Delicious. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. So changing your eating and all that, good stuff. So now, from a mom's perspective, you have young children, and young children are very adaptable to new situations. But some of the older ones, I'm sure that there was probably a little bit of, you might have had a moment or two.
Yeah.
Why are we here and we want to go home?
Yes.
Can you share that with us a little bit?
However much you would like to. For our first two, Enoch and Silas, it was harder. And so you'd have, you know, when birthdays come around, people are used to having the family around, and then, you know, there it's just us. And so we would video call. And I remember Enoch, I think it was his birthday coming up, and he asked, you know, can we invite three of the kids from church to come to the birthday party? Or to come up to the house to have the birthday party. And I said, yeah, we'll invite them. So we had a few people over, and some missionary helps from Georgia were there helping build a roof. I think it was that year they were building a roof for the church. And so we had the birthday party and everything, and we didn't call the family because it was just all chaotic. We told them we'll call them later. And he came to me after the birthday party, and he said, Mama, I just wanted somebody here on my birthday because it's so lonely where we can't have our family there. So
how old is he?
He's 11 now. I think he was 9 at the time. So that really grabbed at my heart when he said
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. But yeah, just holidays or right around the holiday or, you know, right after the holiday. You know, like the day after Christmas, or it just kind of hits you, you know, and you think about past years and then here, but it's worth it all.
It is, and I know that when you, I'm asking you to share this. This is not stuff that you would normally get asked, but this is the reality. Holidays are different there, correct? So celebrations are different, the way you go about it, even within a church setting, it's slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Christmases, Thanksgiving is, it doesn't exist. Are you able to keep some of that up or do some things, you know, with your own family to kind of keep that alive? Is that what you do?
Yeah, we try and in our home, we keep everything American culture, you know, so we'll have Dominicans, they have Noche Buena, which is Christmas Eve, and that's when they all get together, they have a huge meal, and that's Christmas. Christmas Day, they do nothing.
Okay.
They wait until January the 8th, and they have Three Kings Day, and so that's when the three wise men come and bring its gifts. Okay. And so that's kind of, you know, Americans Christmas Day, that's their Three Kings Day.
Okay.
So we'll usually do, we don't do nothing much for New Year's Eve, maybe drink hot chocolate, have some finger foods, or whatever. We have a big Christmas, you know, I fix a meal, they have their presents, and then on Three Kings Day, they might get just a little something, just to get some of the Dominican culture too.
Sure.
But we try and keep it American culture in the house.
Sure. And I totally understand that. I grew up that way. They will get plenty of the current culture of where they're living, so that you almost have to keep a little bit of that in the home in order to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you want them, you know, they're thinking down the road, 11 years old, in just a few years, he'll be going to college somewhere. And more than likely, he'll be coming back to the States.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want them to have at least a little bit of knowledge of what's going on here, so that he's not totally in the dark when he comes back here. These are things that you have to think about and deal with. Now, the other thing that, and share this with you, and either one of you can share this, he's 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This is, he's getting teenage years. There's a delicate balance to be applied here. Can you share that with us a little bit, as much as you prefer to share, as far as you've got ministry and you want your kids involved in ministry and you want them involved with other kids, but then at the same time you're trying to protect your family from influences that wouldn't necessarily be spiritually healthy for them. How do you balance that?
Yes, sir. I could say that, you know, that's been on our minds, and we realize that and we understand that. One of the things that we saw while we were there on the field, we homeschool our kids. And we've maintained, you know, the homeschool curriculum while they're at the house. And one of the things that we decided, you know, while we were there, even though the church that we worked with is a wonderful ministry and it's a wonderful work, they do have a Christian school. And there's a lot of public school children there that come in from outside, you know, that have not grown up in a Christian home. And one of the worries that we had was putting our children into an environment that they would learn things or receive things, you know, that would not be good, spiritually healthy for them. And so we tried to, you know, maintain a balance, but maintain it in a way to where they are, first of all, being informed by the parents, you know, of this is how life is. This is how some lost children may act. They may not know everything that you know. They have not received the Bible like you received it. And so preparing them mind-wise, you know, and letting them know, you know, if you hear certain things or if you see certain things, you know, you've got mom and dad that you can come to, and that we maintain a good relationship with them to where, you know, we can protect them in that way and try and guide them in the right direction, not so much to where we completely isolate them, because that wouldn't be good. But also to protect them in a healthy way. And so that's what we try to do. We ask God for wisdom and just try to make sure that we keep them in a direct line to where they don't get influenced negatively in a bad direction, you know. And so we try to keep a balance with that.
And it's good for us to know this, because as we're praying for them, we can pray for these things, these specific things. We haven't even touched a lot of ministry things yet. This is just family. Just what you have to do in order to live there that they're having to deal with. They want to make it, it's not a burden.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, well, this is what God has asked us to do, so suck it up, buttercup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the attitude that you want to present to these young, moldable hearts and minds. You want them to feel like this is awesome, this is great. And so there are certain things that you have to do along the way. And I'm not trying to speak for you.
Yes, sir.
So what would be some of those things that you would do to make it fun for them? Involving ministry and living and all this. What are a couple things that you can do or that you found to do in this large city?
Yeah. So as far as like ministry-wise and getting them involved?
Yes.
Okay, so we had youth groups that we got them involved, you know, with the youth. And they got to have children their own ages, you know, that they would play with. And we had games and activities. And we would do that throughout the week. And they had a lot of friends, you know, there at the church that they got to play with and hang out with. And so we would involve them with their friends and just have them, you know, go out and just have a play day, get some time together. And so they enjoyed doing that. There were other missionaries that were there on the field that were of our like faith and beliefs. And so we would have, you know, days where we would go and see them and let the kids, you know, play with them and have fun and just make play days for the kids. And then we'd get them out. We'd go and we'd visit the park, like my wife said, and we go and they would be out there playing with other Dominican kids who want to come play soccer with them at the time. And so they would come over. We'd get the chance to witness to them while they were there, and our kids would just be running out in the park, having a good time, playing soccer, running, racing back and forth. And so we did things like that. We had two young guys that had come into the ministry who were Haitian, Guatemalan natives, and we kind of took them under our wing. We had them come in, and they would, you know, hang out and love on the boys and just have fun, and we would take them around, trying to witness to them, trying to get them, you know, and discipled. And so it was just a good time. We had a good time, different ways, and getting our kids involved there in the ministries and in the work, and also with the children. Whenever we did leave and come back, one of the boys, you know, was one of Enoch's best friends, our oldest son's best friends there at the ministry. His mom had texted Brittany just the other day saying that Samuel had just cried his eyes out the entire service, just talking about how much he missed his friend Enoch. And we miss them. The boys miss their friends, you know. They made a lot of good friends at the church. And so those are some of the ways, you know, we try to get our family apart, you know, and just involved and having a good time. And we try to do that on a weekly basis. We would do that on a weekly basis, trying to make sure we got the kids out, you know, doing something, an activity as a family activity or a church activity or both during the same week. And so we would try to just, you know, involve them to where they feel like they're a part and doing something and doing a part of the work. And it's not just mom and dad, you know, who's forcing them, and they get to see, you know, the burden of the work and have a part in it as well. So we got them to hand out gospel tracts, to witness. I got the older two boys, which are both saved, and so I will get them out there, you know, and doing that and helping daddy to give out gospel tracts and to witness to some of the kids their ages. And they got involved with that. And so it was just a blessing.
So, yeah.
I think, too, one of the biggest things, too, is the attitude of the mom and dad. Like, if you go, okay, it's time to go soul winning. Hurry up. Put your shoes on. Let's go. Or you say, come on. It's time. You can meet a kid. You can see them get saved. Maybe they could go to church. If you're excited about it and if you have a good attitude, it really feeds on them and they're more excited. You know, I know times when I'm excited and happy and we're going and the kids are. And in, you know, days that I might not feel the best, or I might be, you know, I've got morning sickness and I'm just like, okay, kids, let's go. Oh, we gotta go. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was from me. So your attitude and how you talk to the kids and how they're watching you, if you're excited about it and if it's really special to you, it's going to be really special to them.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You're right. What we don't realize at times, I think, is you and I, when we have our jobs, our kids don't get drug along with us in our jobs here. And for missionaries, whether they want to or not, the kids are going with them. you know, they're not going to leave them at home, nor in the beginning do you have folks, you know, just thinking about date night. How long has it been since you had a date night?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, who do you leave, who have you built up enough relationship with in order to trust your kids to leave with? Mm-hmm. And that's not saying anything about anybody. That's just saying you haven't developed those relationships yet, nor do you have that confidence. So it's been, what, 3-4 years, maybe 5 years since you've had one of those times where you can just get away and just you two be by yourself. Mm-hmm. Those are things that we don't think about, but it affects. It not only affects a marriage relationship, it affects their ministry long term. And so these are things that we pray about. Now, Amen. Real quick, take Amen. A few minutes and tell us, why a furlough? Why does a missionary take a furlough?
Okay. All right. So one of the things that we had planned, you know, before we went to the field was our goal was to spend about 2.5 to 3 years, you know, on the field before we came off and then took the time here to before we head back. And the goal of the first term was to work with another missionary family to where we could be well enough prepared where to where we could start a work of our own in a different place. And so that was the goal. One of the things about it is that that going into a work, we wanted to make sure that we had a furlough to start off with, to where we start off fresh in the work, to where we're not 2 years in and we're ready to take a furlough, and but yet we don't have anybody to help cover or anybody to help help preach or to help with the ministry work that's going on. And so the idea was to start off fresh after furlough into the first work that we're going to start. And but the point of furlough for us is to revisit our supporting churches, to give them the vision, to let them see, you know, what God has done these past 2.5 years, to where you can see, you know, the fruit of the work and how it's affected and how we're able, how God has helped us and how we've been able to help others in the mission field and just what you all have done and the fruit that you have through your help for our family. And so that's one of the goals of furlough. Another goal of furlough is to revisit family members, to see family that we haven't seen in a long time and to get that that connection and to love on them and for them to love on us for some time. And so to get that break, you know, to get that breather once we get here. And so that's very nice to get that refresher while we're here in the U.S. So that's another reason for furlough, is to see family members, to update supporting churches, to take a break, you know, and not a break from ministry, but just a break to where we are trying to get regrouped, praying, planning, rebuilding our support a little bit, and then getting fired up and ready to go right back into it. And so that's the whole plan.
You got to renew driver's licenses?
Driver's licenses, work on visas. Checkups. Yes, sir.
Visas?
Yes, sir.
I mean, just any number of things that you have to do. And so furlough isn't a vacation.
No.
Okay. Why is it not a vacation?
Well, the thing about it is that while we are here, we are constantly traveling just as we would on deputation. I'm still making phone calls. We are still trying to work, as Brother Dan mentioned it, on our visas. That takes time. We're still trying to prepare schedules, and we're still trying to regain a little bit of support, and we're trying to get our vision out there to other supporting churches. And so we're making a lot of trips. Next week, we're going to be gone to a church in Winchester Thursday through Sunday, you know, and it continues on with the meetings that we have, and that takes time. And then in between all that time that we are driving around, you know, in meetings, and that takes time to drive to and from places, that's whenever we put the work in to get things prepared for the next trip, for the upcoming trip to the DR. And also, we're looking at church properties. We're looking at homes in a new place that we're going to be living at. Eventually, we're going to take trips there, Brittany and I, to go look at properties there in the place we're going to be living. And so there's just a lot in our minds, a lot of preparation, a lot of things to think about in preparing, you know, with the new church plant that we're going to have. we're gonna start from scratch. And so there's a lot of planning that goes into that, and thinking of we need this, this, and this, and this. And so that's all gonna come to fruition. And so all that's in our minds, and getting that all worked out before we go and we start the work. You know, sitting down, counting the cost, making a plan, and doing it right. So
as we, and this will be, our time is gone, but as we're praying for them, we know what to pray for now. One of the big items that you can pray with them for, as they're doing the plan, and they're going to plan, they're going to search, they're going to look, they're going to prepare, they're going to do all the things that they need to do. In all of this, because it is ministry related, our prayer for them also needs to be that they'll not do it in their own strength.
Amen.
Because that is a temptation. Not that I'm trying to disparage them in any way, but without realizing it, you get caught up in all the things that you're doing in the lists, and then you get caught up in you being the one that's doing the work, when there's times that it has to be God that does it through you. So much of what they do has to be God doing the work through you in order for it to be effective and for it to last for eternity. So Amen. That'll be our prayer.
Amen.
As we go to prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Jeff, would you do us the honor of praying for our missionaries, Brother Ethan, Mrs. Brittany, and for their children, and ask the Lord, if they would, to protect them while they're here in the States, and to be with them as they prepare to start this new ministry.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. God, we thank you for the class today. God, we thank you for what we've heard from Ethan and Miss Brittany. Lord, we just pray that you'd be with this couple. We pray that you'd be with their kids. We pray for your blessing upon them as they do debitation, as they raise money, funds, and all the things that they need. God, we just pray that you'd go before that work, and that you'd prepare hearts to the different churches that they will visit. And Lord, help them to, these churches, help see their vision and be able to get on board and help and support. And Lord, we just pray for the kids and all that they deal with, and just ask that you be with them, and just ask for your blessing to be upon them. Give them travel mercy and safety as they travel and go to different churches. And Lord, may this time that they go to different places be profitable to them. And God, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.